You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Set sail and save right away when you book your next Disney cruise vacation with UndercoverTourist.com. Undercover Tourist is your secret for savings on all Disney Resorts vacations. And now, fun in the sun with Disney Cruise Lines. How about enchanting entertainment or an exclusive visit to Castaway Key? Anything's possible aboard a Disney cruise vacation. Book now with UndercoverTourist.com, an authorized seller, and get a free in-room decor package with your Disney Cruise Line booking. Plus, exclusive savings at checkout. UndercoverTourist.com.
Hey, it's Cerise. Quick programming update for you. A Tradition of Violence is a 14-part audio investigation. We've done 10 episodes so far, and we have 4 left. I'm going to be taking this week off from reporting for some very much-needed R&R, but I didn't want to leave you hanging. So this week, you'll be hearing an interview I did with Locatora Radio. We talked about my investigation into the LA County Sheriff's Department's deputy gangs, the negative repercussions that I faced from my reporting, and what went into making the podcast A Tradition of Violence. If you like what you hear, please make sure you subscribe to their podcast. Okay, here we go.
Locatora Radio is a radiophonic novela,
which is just a very extra way of saying
a podcast.
I'm Diosa FM.
And I am Mala Munoz.
Locatora Radio is your prima's favorite podcast hosted by us, Mala and Diosa.
We're two IG friends turned podcast partners breaking down pop culture, feminism, sexual wellness, and offering fresh takes on trending topics through nuanced interviews with up-and-coming Latinx creatives.
Known as Las Locatoras, Las Mamis of Myth and Bullshit, The Podcasteras Next Door, and Las Podcasteras Peligrosas, we've been podcasting independently since 2016, and we're bringing our radiophonic novela to the My Cultura Network to continue sharing stories from the Latinx community.
Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 7.
Take us to your network!
Hola, hola, locamores. Welcome back to Season 7 of Locatora Radio. I'm Diosa.
And I am Mala, and we are your hosts. We have a super incredible, extra special guest here in studio with us today, Cerise Castle. And we're just going to do a real quick intro and then bring on Cerise and start talking. Cerise Castle wrote a 15-part series about the LA Sheriff deputy gangs. She is an LA journalist and podcast host. And we're here to talk all about a brand new podcast that Cerise is hosting, A Tradition of Violence, which is a show about the deputy gangs that operate within the LA County Sheriff's Department. So, Cerise, can you please say hello and introduce yourself for our listeners?
Hi. It's so great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, it's truly an honor, Cerise, to be able to interview you. I happened to be at USC a couple weeks ago when you were on a panel there. And so it was really great to just hear some of your story and some of the work that you've been doing. And so I'm just super happy. And it just so happened that Mala had actually emailed you a couple weeks before to schedule this. And so I love the serendipitous nature of it. And so just to get us started, you know, you have an incredible story with really what got you started with this 15-part series about the LA Sheriff deputy gangs. And can you tell me about the origin story and really what you were going through, what season in your life you were in when you decided to take on this endeavor?
Of course, yeah. So the story of me getting interested in the topic of deputy gangs really goes back to my childhood. I grew up in the Los Angeles area, and ever since I was a little kid, I heard about deputy gangs from older children on the playground, my brother, teachers, my mom. There was always this warning of, you know, watch out for deputy sheriffs because they're likely in a gang. And I think that's the case for a lot of Black and brown kids growing up in the LA area, in certain neighborhoods. It's just sort of an accepted fact. And it always was the sort of thing that intrigued me and never really made sense, because those same police officers that I was being warned about were coming into my school and saying, stay out of gangs, you know, gangs are bad, and demonizing kids that, you know, I had grown up with and were affiliated with gangs, sometimes members of these gangs, just by virtue of where they grew up. And they were being painted as these awful people. And at the same time, I'm being told by trusted people, those same officers are actually in a gang themselves. That never really made sense to me. And I can remember going to the library when I was a kid and trying to find out more about deputy gangs and trying to find some sort of, you know, reckoning to help me make sense of this concept, because it just wasn't computing. And there was never anything in depth there. I would find one-off articles, sort of very surface things, but nothing really looking deeply into who these people were, why they were doing what they were doing, where they came from, that sort of thing. And I'm appreciative to the journalists that, you know, wrote those articles that, you know, were scratching the surface and like starting to chip away at the deluge that came many, many years later, because that was instrumental in helping me build my interest and my research later. So I kept coming back to this question throughout my life, but there was never much more there. So in 2020, I was here in Los Angeles working for a local radio station, and I was covering the protests that were breaking out across the city in response to the murder of George Floyd. And while I was out working as a journalist, I was shot by a police officer with a less lethal, so-called less lethal munition. This happened while I was identifying myself as press. I had a bunch of gear in my hands that I captured on photo, the officer actually turning, looking at me and firing at me. And the injuries that resulted from that put me on bed rest for about 6 months. I was in a cast. I had crutches. I wasn't supposed to be out in the field working. And I was just supposed to be essentially on my couch. And I didn't feel great about that. You know, being a journalist of color at that point, I was in a mostly white organization. And we were in this historic moment of people at least wanting to have a conversation about race and racism and how that impacts everything day to day. And, you know, journalistic institutions were having these so-called reckonings with racism. I just didn't feel good about being on my couch in that moment. So I was on my couch just sort of, you know, recovering and, you know, processing the trauma of being shot on the job. And I was watching the news, as a journalist does, and I saw that a young man, an 18-year-old, had been killed in the Gardena area working as a security guard. And very quickly it came out that this young man, Andres Guardado, he was killed by two deputies that were trying to get into a deputy gang. And this was information that was revealed by a deputy working with them. And here it was again, this deputy gang issue in my face. And I was just thinking to myself, wow, okay, like this keeps coming up for me. I don't have anything on my plan for the next 6 months. I'm supposed to be sitting on my couch. Let me start researching this. I can do that from my couch. So I did. I started filing public records requests, and I uncovered this Excel sheet that the county keeps of all of the litigation related to deputy gangs. And once I recovered that, that was basically my treasure map. And I used that to find the information that became A Tradition of Violence, the initial 15-part series.
So there has been, in the past, folks who have, like, filed lawsuits against the Sheriff's Department for gang-related crimes against the public, I would assume.
Tons. So on average, the Sheriff's Department kills about 24 people a year. And a lot of those shootings are done by deputies that, one, have shot someone before, or two, have some kind of affiliation with a deputy gang. And that information usually comes out in lawsuits, because in lawsuits, they have these things called depositions where you go in and, just like in court, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And if you don't, you will face criminal consequences. Mm-hmm. And in these lines of questionings, in these depositions, they find out about these deputy gangs. And the county takes note of that because the county is representing these deputies in these depositions. And a lot of times, you know, when it comes out in these depositions that the deputies are part of a deputy gang and the violence is potentially being committed as part of a deputy gang ritual, the county wants to settle. And that's stored. And they take note of that.
This is really fascinating and impactful information. Thank you so much for sharing this with our listeners.
Yeah, I have a follow-up question, Cerise, about the reporting process. So my question is, like, how did you balance the urgency of, like, wanting to get this story out, wanting the public to know that on a mass level, right, that sheriff deputy gangs exist, while also doing, like, really thorough reporting? Like, how did you balance that workload and wanting to, like, meet your internal deadlines?
Not well, honestly. I was working around the clock, and I put a lot of pressure on myself to really get this out. It felt very urgent. This is a question that I'd had for at least, you know, 20 years, I would say. And I really wanted to meet the moment that we were in. So I was working, like, man, I would get up at, like, 7 o'clock in the morning and not stop working until, like, 11 o'clock at night, just in front of my computer all day, reading page after page of lawsuit, deposition transcripts, investigation files. And I wasn't really managing it well. I wasn't doing a lot of self-care. I mean, I was going to physical therapy. That, I don't know if that really counts as self-care, but it wasn't healthy, definitely. And I feel like I need to say that. And I've had to put a lot of practice into being better about that, because that does start to wear on your reporting and you will burn yourself out. And I definitely did burn out towards the end of it. It's a lot of really awful information that you're taking on, looking into a series like this, reading a series like this, listening to a podcast discussing this content. And it's really important, I think, to talk about taking care of yourself when engaging in that content too. That's just as important. You can't really do an effective job, whether that be reporting on it, processing it, and going out and making change, unless you're also taking care of yourself.
Yeah, I appreciate that you bring that in, taking care of yourself in the making of and the researching of this series. How did you continue to take care of yourself after you put your findings out into the world? Because your reporting on the sheriff's gangs went, like, ultra, mega, viral, global, like, had a huge digital footprint. Like, people were putting, like, signage up on the freeway overpasses and graffiti, and, like, your reporting had a global reach and, like, definitely got noticed by the sheriffs themselves, including the gang members, I would assume. So taking care of yourself during the reporting process, but then what did that look like after you put your work out into the world?
A lot of it was safety planning. Unfortunately, doing this kind of work does come with a lot of negative feedback. I mean, like you said, the feedback has been overwhelmingly positive. Most of the feedback I get is from people that have had interaction with these deputy gangs and felt like they were kind of, you know, being gaslit by the world around them. And seeing this reporting was really reassuring to them. People that, you know, have been living in these communities and been facing this for generations, it was really healing, I think, in a lot of ways to have this recognition in printed and published form. But unfortunately, there are people that don't like it. And that's usually people that are engaging in this kind of behavior. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that has meant death threats via social media, mysterious phone calls and text messages. That was more so after the series. That's dissipated a lot. And that was really scary. I was detained at a press conference immediately following the publication of the series. And that hasn't, I've never experienced anything like that. And that was really scary. The sheriff himself has made harassment type comments about me. He had a whole radio show where he called into question my credibility as a journalist, which is really harmful for a reporter because all we have is our credibility. Mm-hmm. And if that is called into question, that could, you know, jeopardize my ability to provide for myself and my family. His campaign manager threatened to disclose my home address on Twitter. Yeah, and that has meant, you know, having to hire bodyguards when I go out and do certain assignments. It's meant moving. It's meant I had to go into hiding for a little bit following the publication of the series. And it's changed my lifestyle completely. I have had to alter what it is that I post on social media. I don't really have, I try not to have a front-facing personal life because it has meant that those people have been threatened as well. I've had friends of mine that are threatened as a result of just, you know, being in a photo with me, mm-hmm. which is really upsetting.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Thank you so much for sharing. I mean, for us, you know, we have received, though, you know, not at the same level, but over the years, we have received, you know, death threats and rape threats. And because of the feminist content that we put out there, and we don't, there, a lot of it has been anonymous, so we'll never know. But our assumption is most likely like from our own community, from Latino men. And it really has like altered the way we even show up online, even though we are very front facing. But and we have been indie for so long up until this season. And so I'm wondering, like, I'm curious about the connections or correlation you see between, you know, having the independence and freedom to do the type of stories that you want to do as a freelancer, but then also lacking maybe some of the institutional quote protection from like a legacy media company. And so how have you been navigating that type of the work that you do?
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. And that's something that I try to talk about a lot when I'm in these legacy journalism spaces. I think that I receive so much hate as it is because, or I did initially, because I was a freelancer writing this for a small independent outlet. Whereas someone that would have written this at a, you know, a New York Times, a Los Angeles Times, they don't feel as easy to get to, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I wasn't, you know, a reporter that you're reading every day in the paper with, you know, this institution behind. So I was just, you know, as a lot of them saw me, I was an activist, in quotations, on a blog. I was, right. You know, someone that could be touched. And they tried those press conferences. I mean, they still, you know, play around with me at press conferences today. The last time I tried to attend a press conference, I watched the captain of the media relations wave every reporter in and point to me and say, "Not Cerise."
Wow.
So it's a really important thing. And I want to give a shout out to Brittany Mejia at the LA Times. She refused to go in until I could go in as well. And we don't often see that kind of camaraderie and solidarity in the journalism community. I don't think it's a coincidence that most of the other reporters were white men that mm-hmm. were perfectly fine with walking past me and letting me go in. But Brittany Mejia, a Latina woman, mm-hmm. saw me and said, "No, I'm not going to do that. I want her to come in too."
Thank you for sharing that story. I was curious about whether the LA Times and other like legacy media have supported you in your reporting or expanded upon it or platformed you or what that relationship has looked like. Because obviously they see what you're doing and what you're
yeah.
working on.
It initially, no. I mean, I was like completely dismissed, I would say. I mean, there were some journalists at the LA Times that, you know, did support me in their way, you know, sharing my articles. Justin Ray, he's no longer at the Los Angeles Times, but he featured my reporting in a newsletter. Emily Hoven at Cal Matters also put my series in her newsletter. So stuff like that, that's really important because those newsletters are going out to,
yeah.
you know, hundreds of thousands of people every day. But unfortunately, I've also seen a lot of, frankly, what I feel is just blatant disrespect.
Mm.
At other legacy outlets, Rolling Stone, The New Yorker, both subsequently wrote pieces about deputy gangs that, to me, appeared to borrow heavily from my reporting, almost word for word. Like, sir, I could point to part, you know, 15 of the series and
yeah.
say this is, you know, essentially the same story.
Yeah,
and not citing my reporting.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. We have definitely experienced like our share of like, you know, folks minimizing the work that we do, even now that we're like at an even higher caliber, you know, technically we're with iHeartMedia. There's still a level of, you know, people not taking our work seriously. And we see Locatora Radio as an audio archive, which is for us able to document the work that incredible journalists like yourself are doing, which is why we were so excited to have you on. And because you're working on your own podcast, you know, that serves as an archive as well for folks that maybe reading a 15-part series is not for them, but hearing it is more up their alley. And so I want to ask you specifically about the podcast, A Tradition of Violence, and how that came to be. My assumption is it's an extension of the 15-part series, but in your own words, I'd love to hear how that came about and how you're formatting it to reach people that are audio first.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health.
Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Set sail and save right away when you book your next Disney cruise vacation with UndercoverTourist.com. Undercover Tourist is your secret for savings on all Disney Resorts vacations. And now, fun in the sun with Disney Cruise Lines. How about enchanting entertainment or an exclusive visit to Castaway Key? Anything's possible aboard a Disney cruise vacation. Book now with UndercoverTourist.com, an authorized seller, and get a free in-room decor package with your Disney Cruise Line booking. Plus, exclusive savings at checkout. UndercoverTourist.com.
Yeah, that's a great question. So when I wrote the series, it was conceptualized as a written series, but I always knew that I wanted to take it into other media formats to make it accessible to other people. Like you said, it's not everyone isn't going to sit down and read a 15-part series. I think I printed it out and it was over 200 pages. That's not for everyone. Mm-hmm. And you know, I wanted to make the information as accessible as possible. And a podcast, I've worked in, you know, written media, I've worked in audio journalism and television journalism. So a podcast to me felt like a logical next step because a lot of the interviews that I had done were on the phone. I had connections with people. I knew I wanted to keep the reporting up. And I pursued a podcast project with iHeartMedia. And we're in the midst of putting it out now. It's going to be 14 episodes. And like the series, it dives into the history of the 18 deputy gangs that I uncovered in that initial series. But I've uncovered two more in the years since doing that reporting. So we're going to be talking about these two more deputy gangs. Unfortunately, I've been able to connect several additional police killings to these deputy gangs. And with that, I've also built some more databases for the public to use that I'm really excited about.
It really puts into perspective also, as Angelenos, we hear so much about the city being unsafe and crime and violence. But when we think about who's committing many, many acts of violence and committing crimes, to be able to track crimes committed by the sheriffs, by deputy gangs, it really adds a new sort of layer to our understanding of like violence in the city. I appreciate your work for that as well, because I think it's so easy to scapegoat the poor, the homeless, people of color, when we have like a really big like monster here that has not been addressed properly. And on that note, in the podcast, you guys talk about this sort of like Wild West kind of like identity that the sheriffs have and how that goes back all the way even to the founding of California and like settlers, like white men installing sheriffs and installing law enforcement as they were founding towns and cities and settling and creating their systems of government here. And I'm wondering if, like, you can share with us, based on your reporting and your research, how those demographics are the same or how they have shifted over time. Because I think anyone in LA can look around and notice that a lot of our sheriffs, a lot of our LAPD are actually people of color, and a lot of them are Latino.
Yeah.
So what has that demographic shift looked like over time? And like, what does it mean now?
I think there's so much at play here. I think it's like capitalism, definitely how capitalism in the United States is linked to white supremacy, and how our notions, sometimes some people's notions of success, are linked to that white supremacist capitalism hybrid that drives so much of American culture, and how that is inherently linked to policing and how policing is carried out in this country.
Yeah, and we want to ask the question because in previous episodes, we had Odilia Romero of My Cielo LA on to talk about the leaked Fed tapes and the anti-Indigenous statements and anti-Black statements made by Nuri Martinez and Gil Cedillo and other members, right, or former members of LA City Council who were caught on those tapes. And we, because our audience is predominantly Latinx and predominantly LA-based, you know, we have to ask these questions and talk about these things. Because I think what we notice is this tendency towards, like, folks in our community asking for representation and empowerment and demanding it. But then once we get it and we're in positions of power, how are we now using it?
Right.
And how are we using our power and our numbers and our organizing for good or for evil? And are we acknowledging that these things are happening? I don't think we are as a community. Like, are we addressing the fact that LA sheriff's gangs are probably heavily Latino gangs.
And targeting other Latinos.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I'm curious, too, in your reporting, are you seeing that conflict or are you seeing that education happening or that pushback or that denial? Because what I'm also thinking about is all these sheriffs, like, they have families and they live in Southern California and they send their kids to school and they're like parts of the community, they're neighbors, but they're also like agents of violence, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the people that read my work for the most part are very much in line and aware of how this is all linked and how problematic a lot of this stuff is. So I haven't received, you know, negative feedback so much about that specific thing. But it's something that I want to make sure is present in the reporting and something that is being discussed in the reporting. I can't underestimate or, like, understate how important I think it is to talk about this. Like in East LA, for example, it's a mostly Latino station. They have a gang that is called the Banditos. It's mostly, or no, it is, you have to be Latino to be in the Banditos. And what do? They go out and brutalize people living in East LA that are other Latinos. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time, the people they're targeting, like, it's people that do not fit into this, you know, white supremacist, like, capitalist box. Like, these are poor Latinos. These are undocumented Latinos. These are Latinos that are indigenous.
Yeah, I just want to thank you for bringing that perspective, because for us, we're, like, constantly thinking of, like, how can we push our community to have these conversations with us? And so for you to have, you know, so much of it is like, show me the data, right? And it's like, well, here's the reporting.
It's, you know, there.
It's there. I think it was in 2020, in 2020 when, you know, the sheriff called Supervisor Hilda Solis La Malinche.
Yeah.
Right. And right. So it's like this repeated pattern of behavior of, you know, verbal aggression, violence that has gone unchecked. And as we're recording, you know, the election has not been called, but he will potentially lose his seat.
And it's looking like Sheriff Villanueva did not win this election.
Right.
Yeah. There's obviously a lot of different factors, but, you know, as an Angeleno and as a journalist and someone very online, I can see the link between the reporting that you've done and this election cycle.
And so maybe, like, can you speak to that? Do you feel like your reporting has made an impact on the sheriff's election?
I think...
Because we think the answer is yes.
Yeah, like, maybe you don't want to say that, Cerise, so we'll say it.
But we feel.
Like, people are waking up to it because either you know and you don't want to admit it, or you didn't even know that they existed. And now you're second guessing, and we've had, like, a racial reckoning, you know, countrywide. And then there's also this reporting that has happened. So you may not want to say it, but we can see the link.
Thank you for saying that. I think I would come off as kind of, like, naive maybe if I said no. But I also want to say that my reporting is very much a vehicle of voices that have been talking about this issue for years and years, oftentimes longer than I've been alive. I very much see the reporting that I'm doing as facilitating, platforming, giving space to people that have been living in this nightmare for the past 50 years and for the first time had a chance to really share and talk about the consequences of having, living in, a police state, essentially, and the traumas that come with that. So, I do think my reporting made a difference, but it was done, in line with a lot of great work that has been going on for a long time.
Thank you so much, Cerise, for sharing your story, your journalism, and your work with our listeners. And for those who maybe are just finding out about all of this, you never know, who the news is not reaching. Where can folks follow you? Where can folks tune in, read the work, and learn more about LA Deputy Sheriff's gangs and the tradition of violence?
Yeah, you can head to lasdgangs.com. And on that website, you can check out my original 15-part series. You'll get links to where to listen to my podcast, A Tradition of Violence. And you'll also be able to look at those databases that I was telling you about if you want to get to know the sheriff's deputies in your neighborhood and the violence that they've committed against your neighbors. If you want to get breaking news updates about what is happening with the deputy gangs, you can follow at LASD Gangs on all social media. I'm also giving updates. I'm on Twitter at Cerise Castle. I'm on Instagram at Your Majesty. Yeah. Those are my handles.
Fabulous. Once again, Cerise Castle, thank you for joining us. And thank you all for tuning in. This has been another episode of Locatora Radio.
Locatora Radio is a production of Locatora Productions in partnership with iHeart's My Cultura Podcast Network.
For more podcasts, listen to the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Besitos. Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela.
Hosted by Mala Muñoz
and Diosa Femme.
Thanks so much for listening to this special episode. We'll be back next week.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life, transform the world.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.